You're tuning in to Spectre Radio.
Revisiting our favorite Star Wars movie moments and debate about scenes from the show.
We're just three millennials flying our way through the galaxy through the eyes of the clones, Jedi, and bounty hunters.
I'm Wyatt.
I'm Andrew.
My name is Alyssa, and we are...
Spectre Radio.
Captain, there's a starfighter off our port bow.
It's the spoiler! Man the gunwales! Launch the snub fighters and follow it!
Thank you, Captain Gorian Shard, the Pirate King, and the First Mate for the spoiler warning. Once again, this podcast contains adult content and spoilers.
Our people are scattered, like stars in the galaxy. What are we? What do we stand for? Being a Mandalorian is not just learning about how to fight. You also have to know how to navigate the galaxy. That way, you'll never be lost.
Everybody, come and look. It's Spectre Radio. Back. Welcome back, everyone. All of our listeners.
You do
welcome
that
back.
So
hey, the Enzellians.
Hey.
Gotta love them. We need a day in the life of the Enzellians.
Yes.
I need that personally. Yep. Welcome back, everyone, to Spectre Radio. We're gonna be doing Mandalorian chapter 21. But first, I have to introduce a very special guest, a good friend of mine, Cameron. Thank you so much for coming on, bud. How you feeling?
Jam.
I am excited to be here. I've been harassing you guys for 2 years now since you started. So I'm glad that I finally tricked you into trusting me enough with a microphone.
I doubt this faith will be in vain. Cameron and I worked together for a long time, been friends for a long time after that. It's been a long time coming, so hopefully this is going to be awesome. But we're going to have Cameron read the intro. Hopefully there's no typos because I did not pre-read it and pre-edit it afterwards.
The recap, but there's your typo by calling it the intro.
There you go. See, the recap. Already a typo. This is going to go terribly, but not because of Cameron. All right, Cam, take it away.
Mandalorian Chapter 21, The Pirate. On Navarro, while High Magistrate Greef Karga holds a meeting with government officials, the Pirate King Gorian Shard arrives in his Corsair and attacks the planet below. Wanting revenge for his men that Mando and Karga killed, he wants Navarro for himself. The High Magistrate leads most of his people to safety, but they have no soldiers or warriors among them, so he reaches out to the New Republic, who patrolled around Navarro before. But Teeva has to get the approval from Coruscant as he heads straight to the capital, as his communiques have gone unanswered. His request to defend Navarro is denied from his supervisor, so he tracks down Mando via the R4 unit that Pelimoto has given to Din, as Teeva and R4 served previously together during the rebellion. He convinces Mando to head to Navarro since he cannot. Bo and Mando convince a strike team of Mandalorians to join them. Between a ground assault and an air assault, the pirates are overwhelmed and destroyed. Greef Karga thanks the Mandalorians with a large plot of land to call their own. The armorer convinces Bo-Katan to unite and lead all Mandalorians and tells her to take off her helmet and not walk in accordance with the way in order to recruit other Mandalorians who do not walk the way. As Mandalorians feel it is time to step out of the shadows and live in the light once again, with members of every Mandalorian faction.
Great
awesome.
Job,
Cameron. Yeah, dude, thank you for that awesome read. Anyway, let's take it into this much highly anticipated first category of instant reactions.
And you say highly anticipated, of course. And you say highly anticipated because we took a vow of silence to not talk about it in the chat for once.
Yes, it's funny. So Adam texted me. He's like, are you not allowed to talk about it or what? I'm like, I can talk about it to you. But
yeah.
as far as us three, now four, I'm like, no,
get out.
I texted
Cameron the same thing, actually, or not Cameron. I texted Adam the same thing. I was like, I could talk to you about it.
That's funny.
So let's talk about this episode.
Holy shit.
Yes.
All right. There's one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes.
And wow. And what?
I almost cried.
I kept seeing things in the chat at like 7 a.m. I need answers. I need Andrew. And I was like,
yeah, all right, we were all like, Andrew,
going to work. You're so our only hope. This.
Alex so texted this- me and was like, did you watch it yet? And I said, yeah. And he's like, did you cry? And I was like, maybe. He knows how much I love Rebels. He's like, are you okay? No, I am not. I am unwell.
So obviously we had a very climactic ending, very heavy cliffhanger on this, which we will get to. So I don't want to give away all the juices just yet. Definitely the lead up to that, this definitely felt like another filler. I'll say it, this felt like a true more than the last episode.
Really?
At least for me, yeah. But as soon as Bo took off her helmet, I'm like, oh boy, shit's about to go down. We're about to
end.
We're about to get a turn.
That's when he felt something.
Like, I guess that's fair.
that's when I felt something, and I rewound the last maybe 5 minutes of it and rewatched just that, just to get the build up again. And they ended it, I'm dead. I am dead.
I don't know if I sent this in the chat because we were sworn to silence, but to piggyback off what we talked about last week about the episode title, this time I noticed it even more. It didn't even say chapter 21. It just said episode 5.
And
there was no like image. I took a picture of it because I wanted to remember. There was no like preview image. And when you clicked on it, there was no episode description. Usually when you click on it,
doing this.
No, but last time I had clicked on the one where he goes to Coruscant and it's like, they go to Coruscant. And so that's why I knew. But this time there was no title. There was no summary, no nothing. So I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to get more and more secretive.
By half a day.
Zipped up. Yeah, I don't know. But I think it is a time delay because I rewatched it that afternoon around like 4. And it was up there. And then we rewatched it again at 10. I've watched it 3 times. I have no shame. So
I've gotten to the point with at least this series. I might start doing it for others where I won't watch the recap where they kind of talk about what's happened that's related to this episode. Cause to me, that's a spoiler. Like the last one where we had
that's traveling back in time.
Yeah. But okay. So the last, when we were on Coruscant with Dr. Pershing, I would have much rather had the surprise in the show of him showing up. I don't want the preview of what happened with him before.
Yeah. Like when they recapped in one episode when they talked about the Mythosaur, I'm like, are they going to see the Mythosaur? And they did.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying.
I would rather it be a complete surprise.
Well, there was a complete surprise. It was just something else.
But I mean, I don't watch the recap just because I know everything that's going to happen. So I'm
he knows everything. You heard it here. He knows it all.
I know everything that happened already. I do. Sorry.
When you guys saw the episode title, did you have any reaction to seeing the pirate?
Like I was any like, initial thoughts? Here it comes. Yeah, I did.
Here it comes. What do you mean it?
It's a pirate. I was like, this is where he comes back.
Who's the pirate? The king?
Who do you think is the pirate?
That's my question because there were multiple pirates.
God, this got existential really quick.
Well, it's like when we talked about The Last Jedi and then in Spanish, it was Los Últimos Jedi. It was multiple, right? It was plural. So the only reason I say that is because I was like, oh my God, does this mean Hondo? Because so far, all the episode titles have been very clever. Listen, hear me out. All the episode titles have had like double meanings, like The Foundling was supposed to be about Grogu and then maybe about Ragnar. And then it was about little baby dino Reptavian birds. So when I saw the pirate, I was like, okay, we're probably getting the pirates back. That would have been my guess for this next episode anyway, but it wasn't the pirates. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the Pirate King. It was the pirate. So
Alyssa, so
we're getting hopeful for a cameo. And then in the first 90 seconds, they started playing the psychedelic music. And I was like, we're getting something funky. I think we're getting something. And I was right, but I was wrong about the character.
So Alyssa, so if we didn't get the pirates in the beginning and all you saw was the pirate, do you automatically assume Hondo?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Because we've been talking about it. And
yes, I know we pretend that LucasArts and Lucasfilm listens to our pod, but I don't actually.
No! Hey, listen! How many times have we predicted something?
A few, actually, this season.
Every pod.
Yeah, a lot. We're doing really well, so.
We have a 1927 Yankees batting average right now.
I mean, right. Sue me for assuming, hoping that we.
Oh, listen, I would love to have Hondo on, but I did not expect him to show up in this episode. I wish.
But I feel like that's a very obvious way to open the door. So anyway.
Maybe later. But Cameron, what were some of your reactions on this?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to butt in because I was curious where the whole pirate situation. And I love that because like the internet is all about like, well, they say the Mandalorian. Which Mandalorian are we talking?
Yeah.
You know, who's the Mandalorian? And I mean, you have Gorian Shard and all of the pirates. You have Greef Karga, who was a pirate. You have some other characters that ended up in other series that we got to see that were also on similar privateering missions. It was the title itself was almost a fan reward, and I dug that. There was screaming late at night that happened and people got mad at me because when I watched The Mandalorian too, it's like you have all sorts of weird names and words and you're just like, you know, so my family's half asleep and I'm like, there's a gonk droid. Why are you?
Oh my God. Relatable.
Why? So yeah, there was much squealing on that. I have like a list of live reactions to everything.
Let's do it. Go down your list.
The first thing at the top, it's just lots to recap, which I said in the first like 4 minutes. So I don't know quite what I was thinking at that point. And then I love that the first thing you see, you know, when you get back to Nevarro is the half of IG.
Lame. I know. Yeah. They didn't put his top back.
It's just
he's
like
topless. It's so sad.
They're European. No, I'm just kidding.
They're French.
Oh my God. And also, something I didn't think of when I saw the, you know, Gorian Shard's pirate ship the first time, is that the same cruiser design that the Hammerhead cruiser was in Rogue One? I probably could have gone back and looked at it.
I thought the same thing too.
It's a similar design, but it is not the same.
Okay. Yeah, it looked a little smaller anyway, but I was like, oh my, which would actually make sense. And then I dug that Greef Karga when they were having the little spat with Gorian. He's, you know, it was like, oh, well, you know, murdered my crew in cold blood. And he's like, he shot first.
Yes. Yeah. Easter egg.
Like Han. I dug that so much. And then I put Marshall Island looking Republic Garrison. And then afterwards was a certain character in all caps with a whole bunch of question marks and exclamation marks after it. And much screaming involved with that.
Amen to that.
Like that was, can am I allowed to say it?
Yes.
Like,
we gave the spoiler warning.
Like everyone's favorite Lasat was in this episode. Like, it's like, oh, hey, look, there's Zeb. Wait, there's a live action Zeb in
Carabas.
Can we talk about how good he looked?
Yeah. It almost looked practical. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was because of the lighting. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I watched it 3 times. So I paid attention like the final time I watched it, and I feel like it looked practical because of how bright he was lit from behind. And it wasn't like that normal in space where you're you have that full on look. So I feel like the lighting aided it in looking more practical than CGI. Mm-hmm. But comparing him to the animated, they did a, I think that's probably one of the best characters, especially with an alien race that's so difficult, and how most of the alien races are practical and they're a mask and they have rubber mittens and, you know, all of that. We've
was
seen
it
that
the same voice actor.
It was.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Adam and I talked about that this morning.
Yeah. Awesome. Yes.
So, yeah. So I think that was, I mean, they are spending a lot of money on that character. They have
I know, I know it's 8 years later since Rogue One came out, but that 8 years, 7 years, it's, I think it might be better than Leia and Tarkin's CGI, and they did really good job on that.
Well,
at the time.
And I feel like that's because it's a face on a body, whereas this is like completely, you know what I mean?
I guess
it's,
so.
It's a little different, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, there's like a body double standing there so the actor can interact with someone, but the fact that it's like fully CGI versus like half practical, half CGI. Mm-hmm. I feel like really lent itself, and like his eyes were green, but they weren't like unbelievably green. You know, it was just, it was great. It was probably one of the most perfect CGI moments they've had.
Moved around very realistically.
Ethan Fowler texted me. He's like, dude, was that Zeb?
I'm like, he asked you, sir. He didn't know.
He asked me.
Alex asked me that actually. At first he was like, you know, are you excited? And then he was like, that was Zeb, right? I was like, yes, it was. So
like,
I got
before he talked,
I
he was like walking
up.
Over
I like,
and I was
oh
just like,
God.
I was like, oh, they got someone from his race. I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, there's not that many of them left. I was like, that's probably him.
That's
and
him.
Then I was just
it's
like, he
guy.
Spoke. I was like, it is him. And I think we had him because of the upcoming Ahsoka show. We've got 100%. Hera and Sabine and
he
Ezra
was like
announced. So
one of I was gonna say he was like one of the only ones that wasn't announced though. Mm-hmm. So
we'll see.
Yeah, and I think bringing him in really helped zip up all these storylines because people and will remain them nameless, Wyatt. Have been complaining about these storylines not going together and these directors being all over the place and the creativity not making sense. And this episode zipped it all together very nicely. And you're like, oh, all the pieces of the puzzle are coming into place. And
but remember,
it's
this
all
is just
coming
a filler
to fruition.
Episode.
Right. Yes. It's only a filler.
But this is a filler like when I put things together from IKEA and I'm like, there's a gap here. I'm going to put a lot of super glue and it's all going to stick. It's all going to be one homogenous mixture of particle board and epoxy.
Is this safe, Dad? Of course it's safe, honey.
Yeah, of course it is.
Mm-hmm. I was in construction. I know what I'm doing.
Precisely. One thing that I absolutely loved is when the Mandalorian talking stick is what
yes!
I called it. Because they're walking around the fire and it like everyone starts to grumble. And then Din just kind of half raises the hammer and everyone goes silent. And it's like,
I have the sharing stick. Yeah.
Did anybody else do that as a kid in their family? We did that. We literally did that. My dad
in my last small group.
We had to implement that. My dad would say, like, we would hold the kitchen towel. My dad would say, I have the towel. Or if we were in the living room, I have the remote. Like, shut up. That was a nice way of saying shut up.
Mm-hmm. Or it's like in the office when they had that stretchy like ball that
the koosh ball.
Bigger and bigger.
Yep.
Yeah, that thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I had a talking stick in my youth group and then someone talked and I threw it at them so that they could talk. and then there was Cameron wasn't allowed to have a talking stick anymore. That's how my youth group went. So
that's a little bit different than Wyatt's childhood involving a stick, as we learned a few podcasts ago.
Oh my God. Anyway,
listen back to that one if you missed that one.
That.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sorry. I'm really not.
That was, dude. You want to know how funny that was? So one of my cousins did that to my brother and I when we were growing up. Like, he just went up behind us and closed the lightsaber up our butt. I was just like, is this how I lost my virginity? This is not how I thought this was going to go. He was just being a jerk or whatever.
Oh,
but it was,
my
like, so
God.
Funny. That was so funny.
You reduced your eyes.
Dude, I miss Cameron's laugh. Oh my goodness. So for those of you who don't know, Cameron and I used to work together, and it's been like over 4 years, I think, since we worked together. So we haven't seen each other in that long. So it's
yes.
It's this is just good.
It's aww.
So cute.
Oh, cool. So much less stressful than work, too.
Oh my goodness, bro.
Sorry to derail the podcast here with
toxic. Oh, it's what we do. It's
yeah. It's what do we call them? We rabbit trails?
Yeah.
Rabbit trails. Plot holes within the pod.
Yeah.
I had some whatever. Other points I was going to bring do up it. Real quick before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
I had an epiphany. Elijah's name? A liar. He's a liar.
Ooh. It's like in Clone Wars, they had a Jedi called I'm a Gundai, and he died that episode. Yeah, seriously. That was his name.
Might as well be I'm a Gunner. When Paz Vizsla had the talking stick and he got up there, I think you could kind of tell that's where it was going, and the body language acting was so good with the helmets. Mm-hmm. But it was giving me Hamilton vibes because he was like, I've never agreed with this man once, but he has my vote. Like, I'll do whatever he wants me to do. I was like, okay, I've never agreed with Jefferson, but he has morals, so I'll go with him. And Cameron already said the Easter egg of he shot first, but when Mando said, I like those odds, I was like, ah, there's another one.
There's another one.
That was good.
We're getting a lot of old Star Wars quotes because we had It's a Trap. What was it, last week?
We did.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Sent it to someone from Mon Calamari. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, God. The little first mate guy, did you guys notice his outfit was like Mr. Smee from...
I thought that's what that was.
Like Peter Pan, he looked like Mr. Smee to me, at least, like the striped shirt. I don't know if he had like a hat, but he did have the same like blue striped shirt. And I was like, he's short.
That takes me back to Hook. Hook was such a good
So I thought that was cool. I love that this episode did like almost a little bit of the fourth wall breaking and made fun of itself when the droid was like, don't you mean High Magistrate?
I was waiting for that. I was like, yes, it paid off.
That was so funny. I knew that was coming as soon as there was a pause. And then when the armorer gave Bo-Katan permission to take off her helmet, my jaw, how many times have I said it every damn episode? My jaw was on the floor. Because at first I was like, oh, is she testing her? Like, what is the purpose of this? Like, my mind was racing, trying to predict what this meant.
It's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, so we'll definitely get into that, I'm sure, around predictions. And then if it wasn't already such a cliffhanger, to cut to the fact that Moff Gideon has escaped, and there were, excuse me if I'm wrong, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first time we've seen dead frozen bodies in space in Star Wars? I can't think of another time we've seen like a frozen dead body, like floating in the
In Clone Wars, they did it, but not live action. Not that I recall.
Yeah.
Gosh, no. What's the one where Princess Leia gets zapped out of the bridge and she forced herself inside?
Oh, okay. Sure. Well, she was alive,
but after Blackbar, they did my boy dirty.
Right. She was like crystallized. That's fair. Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, it gave me like Titanic vibes, like when they sent the little thing down there. It looked so similar.
So I thought my instant reaction, one of my biggest ones was, speaking of what you just said about the helmet, and I was just like, last episode I was like, maybe they need to find that, you know, maybe there's a better way, and this episode they are trying to find a way.
This is the better way, is that what you're saying?
Well, they're not living in the shadows anymore.
It's gonna be their new phrase. It's a bit wordy.
And they want to merge with other Mandalorians who don't walk the way. I was like, I could have wished for anything. I could have like asked for $1 million. Like, okay. But like, I was like, I was spot on, not quite exactly how I thought.
Yeah.
Was it how a lot of our predictions are happening well sooner than we're thinking they were. I think we're used to the pace of the last two seasons.
Which is why I delusionally thought we would get Hondo, because normally it would be a delusional thought, but within this season, it's like, the sky's the limit. Everything's possible.
So I heard a rumor that we might have Boba Fett back in this season. I'm not sure if that's how that's going to go.
I could see
but
that.
But if we get a second season of Boba Fett, there's no reason Hondo shouldn't show up in that, though.
So oh, I welcome it so much. I want it.
Just one more. Yeah. Just that aggravation. Not aggravation. I'm not even going to call it. But instant reaction of like when they come up to, you know, Gideon's transport. And in several episodes ago, there was a whole discussion of like, oh, well, it's Imperial tech. We're not going to use it. So we're going to take a war criminal Moff and put him on an Imperial transport.
Yeah.
Like that was.
I guess they have certain things that they've, you know, commandeered into the Alliance as like,
yeah,
craft.
That could be a resource management thing.
But that's a very assumptive thing, considering the fact that you're 100,000% correct. And that drove me nuts in that episode. Oh, well, you know, we're not using these perfectly good Imperial resources. I was just like, recycle much? Like,
of course.
Like, yeah. I mean, like, because I know there's a lot of problems with a lot of Imperial stuff because it's mass produced as cheap as it can be, like TIE fighters and stuff like that. And I think in Legends, they described an Imperial Star Destroyer as 178,000 tactical weaknesses waiting to be exploited. Mm-hmm. So I understand these things, but these are perfectly good things, like reasonably enough that you would need to quote unquote secure the galaxy, not to sound like Palpatine, but like just to help other systems like Navarro. And then Cameron being exactly right. Oh, there's an Imperial shuttle that we're using. So, I mean, we didn't really see any like Alliance shuttles, though. The only ones we see are stolen Imperial shuttles in episode 6. So I guess, but that's a really good point.
It's also Outer Rim, so they don't have a lot out there. So whatever they can use, they're going to use.
Which my other instant reaction is, how in the crap did he just happen upon that in the vastness of space?
Right.
Was he like, if he was looking for that and he was like flying along its last known trajectory and just hopping out every couple of, you know, I don't want to say parsecs, that might be too big of a distance, but and just hopping out and doing a sensor scan, I guess that could make sense.
Well,
but that's a
if
lot
he was
of
leaving,
little jumps.
If he was leaving the Mandalorian covert, maybe it has something to do with that. You know what I mean? The proximity to that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that he was captured and then we don't know if he was captured, then sent to Coruscant. And then, well, I mean, he would be sent to Coruscant for trial, I imagine, because that's where the capital is right now. They haven't moved it to Hosnia Prime, which is in episode 7. That's the planet that's destroyed. But so we don't know where he's captured and processed and then sent to. So
yeah, we don't know where the covert was located. We don't know that planet yet either. So
if it wasn't happenstance, they kind of need to, when he says, oh, I found his ship, they kind of need to be like, were you looking for it? Or are you just the luckiest son of a gun in the galaxy? Like, so, all right, moving on to our next exciting category of predictions. So my prediction, and I wasn't 1,000% behind this theory toward the beginning of the season. I thought it was possible, certainly, but each episode, it's winning me over more and more that it's Thrawn pulling the strings. Like with the TIE interceptors and the bomber on the bombers on Bo-Katan's planet with her castle, you know, pissing her off so she would get emotional and attack a much larger force and get destroyed, or leading away so they could bomb her castle. Those are very, to defeat an enemy, you must know them, which is Thrawn's thing. And now we've got the Beskar in the shuttle, which I'm pretty sure is just a plant.
Yeah.
I think he planted that. So perhaps at Gideon's discretion, like, hey, the Mandalorians are starting to rise again. You might want to do something about that. And he's like, all right, done.
Question. Andrew, I feel like we talked about this during lunch. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so... yeah, Wyatt drove up to Jacksonville on his way to Georgia, and we met for lunch, and it was great because we haven't seen each other in a while. hashtag donde esta Alyssa.
Stop it. I had a question. First of all, sure. How dare you have lunch without me? Secondly, What happened to the Dark Troopers? Weren't those guys made of Beskar?
I don't remember if they were made of Beskar, but Luke destroyed them with his lightsaber.
Are all of them gone? I don't know.
He had a platoon, which is 30 to 50, somewhere in there. I don't know how many. I didn't count how many he destroyed, but none of them came after. So there are probably more Dark Troopers in the Empire, but we don't know where they are.
I follow with your theory, though, that it's most likely Moff Gideon planting this evidence to get the new Republic to start squabbling with the Mandalorians to kind of distract them so he can go on to do, you know, it's kind of like the dog fighting we saw in this episode, right? Like he drew all the fighters away from the Corsair so they could attack the Corsair and then call back, you know, the fighters and the whole thing. So I feel like it's a similar strategy, but I feel like this very much supports the theory of this little bad eyeball guy who is still fat question mark.
Yeah,
listen, we know it's all connected, okay? They're showing us in this episode that all these storylines are connected, and that's still the one very obvious loose end.
It is true.
I've been wrong and I've been right. So I don't know, you know, it's still very like up in the air about the armor because her behavior has been very sus. This is still very sus to me. But the fact that the Empire, whatever you want to call it, that's now kind of transitioning into the next era, coming into, you know, the Rise of Skywalker saga into more of the First Order. It wouldn't surprise me if this action of Moff Gideon is tied to this guy on Mandalore, because the Beskar could have come. We saw a shit ton of Beskar there, right? So what if that guy, you know, I don't know if the armor,
I would like it to connect. I just hope that they don't.
If the armor's motivation is vengeance, if that's our theory based on the color of her helmet, is there some kind of connection where it would be possible that she's working with Moff Gideon or Thrawn or the Empire to then make all of this plausible? Or is this just a secondary thing where she's not included at all and doesn't support my theory? Maybe, but this is like a second thing now where the Empire, where did they get the best car? It's not an easy thing to come by, especially if you're coming out of prison, right? So he has to be working with someone. And the last bad guy we saw with Beskar was little eyeball guy. So that's kind of where my mind goes, that
maybe the client
the Empire
in episode one. So
sure. But how would Gideon get that? You know what I mean?
He works.
You know I'm saying,
Gideon. I mean, I don't know.
Whoever broke him out could have brought it to him and it would have been like this larger plot. But that's kind of, again, saying like this would support the idea that the Empire has some kind of setup, some kind of base on Mandalore. And maybe that's why it's not safe. Like, and the armorer doesn't want to take everybody back. But now she's saying, oh, we're going to reclaim it. I don't know. I don't know. But now I'm like, who's Fulcrum in this situation? Like, are we going to get another double agent, Callus? Like, we're going to get Zeb's boyfriend, Callus, back in this? Like, you already know who I wanted in live action for that. But that would be something else, but I don't know. I mean,
he would have great facial hair and great hair in live action.
Yeah, here comes the smolder. But yeah, I think besides that, in terms of predictions, we're gonna have to get more Grogu moments next episode, because we were lacking on the Grogu moments.
He was barely in this.
That's what I'm saying. It's a crime.
This might be the least we've seen him.
I agree.
And I didn't even think about that till now.
They gave us the Anzalians, I guess, to make up for it and give us a cute couple lines there.
But it's not enough.
What are your predictions around Bo-Katan and uniting Mandalore and the implications of everything? I understand now that I have some distance, like why she is allowed to take off her helmet. It makes sense, because thinking it through, she was to leave the covert with her helmet on and come back with a bunch of people and have her helmet off, and they all have their helmets off, it would have been this continued narrative. It would have been confusing. Whereas the armorer coming out and saying, she has my blessing, she has my permission, she walks both worlds, we need her to do this so she can unite us, then it's less confusing. It's still no more upsetting for them. They're like, what the heck? It's disrespectful. But what do you guys think about where that's going?
I think you're gonna get, like, I had shot Andrew a message last week or the week before where I was like, oh, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. I was like, Bo-Katan is gonna tell the armorer that she saw the mythosaur. And of course that happened.
See, so, he predicted it.
I get one of these two now.
Yeah.
But there's gonna be another level of power struggle, because you still have the, you know, blood heir, actually two, you know, effectively, like heirs to Mandalore, whether that be, you know, Vizsla or, you know, Bo-Katan. And then on top of that, you still have the foundling Din, who has the Darksaber. Mm-hmm. And that, I feel like that's kind of why they did that pan when the armorer says she walks both worlds and they all look at each other and nod. Like, yeah. No, we've already got this weird triangle. Someone is going to end up slapping someone here, and I am all for it.
It's a bit kumbaya right now, though. I don't know. Yeah, they're all, like you said, they're all smiling and nodding. So
this will be my most inappropriate comment this episode, and I'm gonna make sure that it's not
why it's
sexist,
cleaning his ears.
I'm gonna make sure it's not sexist by having it go the other way around. Bo-Katan can slap me. Shoot. I want to make sure that it's as respectful to her as I can.
Every day.
Nice. Oh my God. I put in my notes, like, Bo-Katan, you dropped this. And then I put the crown emoji. So I am nice. Right there with you. Wyatt, what's going on in that brain over there? Hmm. What are your predictions? You've been quiet.
Andrew
he was judging
of,
me.
Quiet Wyatt.
I'm just, oh God, high school all over again. I'm torn on who the villain is. I really am.
Other than Moff Gideon.
Or Thrawn.
Or Thrawn.
I mean, like, right now, all we have is a background bad guy who's Elia.
Alaya. She's Alaya.
I was waiting for you.
Alaya.
And then our mini bad guy, which was the pirate, is dead. Now we've got, what is it? Dane
Eyeball
or whatever
guy.
Who escaped. The one pirate who was like, see ya.
Oh, sure, yeah. Squidward.
Peace out.
But
like,
Squidward.
We've got a lot of minor guys here. We don't have, like, the first season, we got the client, we thought he was the bad guy, and then it was Moff Gideon, and then we saw Moff Gideon throughout season two. We haven't seen crap this season as far as a bad guy, so I'm curious what
I feel like this whole thing with Moff Gideon's transport being hacked, I feel like it's a facade. I feel like they're taking us one direction, because we've had so many rebels, like, little droplets kind of all over this season. We've had Zeb. We've had the Purga Whales. What's next? What could be next?
Unless the show.
The show.
My friends.
My friends. So good.
Evil Luke Skywalker. No.
Yes.
Too soon.
Yes.
Too soon.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. As I want Thrawn. Everyone knows I'm a huge fan of his work. I mean, and Andrew talked about it with the whole, you know, the TIE fighters aren't long range, so you know there's a destroyer somewhere in that system. There,
right.
If it's on the other side of the planet, whatever, something's close by, and Thrawn is a planner. He's methodical in everything that he does.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Thrawn move. I'm not mm-hmm. saying Gideon can't do it, but mm-hmm. it's more of Thrawn's character mm-hmm. and what we learn with him. When Andrew and I were at lunch on Monday, Tuesday, whenever it was, I was saying to him, the perfect way to recap this episode is just his silhouette with his arms behind his back in the military form, and all you see is his red eyes, and it cuts. And that's the
also,
end of this.
Also, where
of
the hell
season.
Has he been? Like, I feel like you can't Like with Zeb, it's like that explained where he's been. He's been with the New Republic. Like that's what he took up after Rebels timeline concluded. Whereas the last we saw Thrawn, he was freezing to death in outer space with Ezra. So
I believe Filoni said they got sent to the unknown regions. So I think Wyatt's going to be right. They're going to have like a small reveal of him at the end of this season, and it's going to lead into the Ahsoka show.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to have
hope so.
Right. They're going to have to backtrack to explain how he's alive and where he's been. Because they did leave that possible. You know, they left that open, but
I'm so tempted for just to film my own live reaction for that last episode of this season, just to see what's going to happen. And I would, in fact, challenge all of us to kind of ourselves.
I feel like we, to be fair, should start doing it because we're on the back half now.
We have three more left.
So one, the penultimate and the ultimate. So I don't know. We're about to find out.
I know this show is not following the traditional, you know, climax and whatever else. It's very staggered. It's not I say it's not consistent, not in a bad way. I'm saying it's not consistent because it's not predictable, and I like that.
It's different.
I want to be taken back from a show that I'm watching. I don't want the normality of what a show normally is, you know. And I just love the direction they're absolutely going with the show. I love it.
That's not what you said last week, but okay.
different episodes, man.
What do you have to say, Cameron?
He's like, ask me next week. I'll tell you I hate it. They hated it.
No, I love the storyline progression and how there are those varied hills and valleys, and you get to appreciate minor details because it's not that I'm going to offend some of your listeners and potentially Andrew, almost certainly Andrew, but like, it's not the Doctor Who thing where it's like something absurd happens. World is threatened.
Andrew has left the building.
Don't go to London on Christmas. Like that's the cycle every series. And this is
true.
Like,
that's true.
You know, we spent an episode crashed on an ice planet with spiders and then travel across the galaxy. And then like, there are these great changes in literally the runtime, but also the expanse of the story and
the world building.
It's just phenomenal. It lets you appreciate and flesh out all those things that we really love about Star Wars, which is every character and every droid has a history and a backstory, and Wikipedia would be really, really slim without it. Mm-hmm. But so I can't get enough of it.
Perhaps it is time for us to podcast in the light once again, on a planet where we are welcome, so our culture may flourish and our children can feel what it is to play in the sunlight and not get eaten by monsters every week. I just felt like he needed to add that, like, so our kids don't get killed.
Speech though. Like, I've seen like a lot of TV episodes where they're like, it's like some kind of criminal show or whatever, and they're like trying to take down a politician by putting a fake one in, and it's always like, oh, we're going to build this park so our children can run and play. Yeah. It's like, I've seen like five of them. So when this happened, I just started dying laughing.
Yep. Got it. Do it for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you all for joining us. And we got to thank our guest, Cameron. Yay.
Thank you so much, Cameron. Dude, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Join us next week for chapter 22 with the title, We Don't Know. Come find out. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode.
In the meantime, check us out on Instagram as @Spectre_radio and on Facebook as Spectre Radio.
Be sure to submit your questions via social media for a chance to hear us answer them on our upcoming segment, Consult the Council.
This is Spectre Radio, signing off.